Wholesalers, internal wholesalers, external wholesalers, welcome to still another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio, always brought to you by I Carry the Bag, the official magazine of wholesaling. Yes, you know you can find us at iTunes at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio if you want to take us on the road with you. Today, we are absolutely honored to have Art Subcheck with us. Art is one of the recognized experts on the planet when it comes to making successful phone calls and how to navigate the right approach for the right outcomes when you pick up the phone and start dialing agents, brokers, financial advisors, RIAs, whoever you're looking to call. Art, let me extend a warm Wholesaler Masterminds Radio welcome to you, sir.
Rob, thank you so much, and it is a pleasure to be here with you and your audience.
Thank you. So what we want to do today, Art, is we want to just, you know, have a little bit of discussion about the three dumbest mistakes callers make when dialing into a new prospect. Now, Art's got a book called Smart Calling, and if you want to know more about that, I'll repeat this later. It's at smart-calling, smart-calling.com, and he'll tell you all about the litany of mistakes callers make, but we only have time for three today. Art, what are the top three at the top of your list, the three dumbest mistakes, do you think?
Well, it's so hard to narrow them down, Rob, because there are so many, and many are variation of each other, but I have narrowed it down to three, and here we go. Number three would be not knowing anything or not knowing much about the person and the organization that you're calling into. I call that a truly dumb cold call, and it truly is cold. The second mistake would be, and many people make this one, going for a decision in the opening statement. When I say a decision, I'm talking about asking for an appointment or even hinting at the fact that you're going to ask somebody to recommend your product. Now, people might say, well, wait a minute, isn't that what selling's all about? Well, yes, but they're not ready for that yet, okay? More on that in a minute. And then the other one, which has probably 20 of its own mistakes underneath it, would be not having any value for the listener. So it's the old what's in it for them. If you don't have something in it for them in the first 10 seconds, and I'm not talking about product because product is going to create resistance. People can resist product, but they really can't resist a possible result. So not having any possible result for the listener. So there you have it, the top three.
So, Art, I want to do a deep dive on all three and give our listeners some real tangible things that they can walk away with. But first, I want to mention to our listeners that we are sponsored by I Carry the Bag, the official magazine of wholesaling. It's the only magazine on the planet that focuses on the art, science, and lifestyle of professional wholesaling. Special going on right now, $79.99 gets you I Carry the Bag in its print and digital form, and your internal wholesaler, the digital magazine, for them to share, read, and for you to coach to. Find out more at iCarryTheBag.com. All right, let's talk about these three. Let's go back up in ascending order. So not knowing anything about the caller. Now, we've talked in Wholesaler Masterminds before about the importance of doing your homework before the appointment, face-to-face, but we're supposed to do homework before the call, you're saying.
Right. Not knowing anything about your prospects. So not knowing anything about the agent, the broker, the advisor. The days are long gone, Rob, when people can just get on the phone, smile, and dial. And there are so many myths of sales that really were never true. For example, it's just a numbers game. Make so many calls, you're going to get so many yeses. For every no you get, you're that much closer to a yes, right? We've heard those over and over, especially in your industry, especially the people that you're calling on, and they're all a big crock, right? Because if you just simply call up somebody, you give them a pitch and say, I'm with XYZ Funds, and we think our funds are great. What I'd like to do is come out there and take 15 minutes of your time and show you what we have, you're given the same pitch that everybody else has. Buyers today are sophisticated. Decision makers are sophisticated. They expect you to have done your homework. And what's going to set you apart is when I can touch on something that is relevant, that is going on in your world at the very moment that I call you. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, knowing something about what maybe is going on in their agency. What's going on in their firm? What are some of the initiatives that they have right now? Knowing something about their clientele. And so, again, how do we get this information? Well, of course, we can go online and get tons of information with a few keystrokes. But then also, we can do what I call in the book social engineering. Social engineering is talking to people other than the decision maker. So if I'm calling into a financial planning firm, I might talk to a couple of the planners. Just simply call in, identify yourself, and say, I want to make sure that I'm prepared when I speak with the principal of the firm. I'd like to ask you a few questions. So here we could find a ton of information, particularly if they feel that is going to help them in their job. So
I should mention, too, because I want to play off of that and remind wholesalers that you've got all these resources potentially available through your centers of influence at the various firms that you serve. So whether it's the mutual fund coordinator in a wirehouse, whether it's somebody that is handling sponsor relationships at a planning firm, if you're trying to get in to see people and you need to get some intel based upon what Art said, get some smarts before that call, that's another avenue of approach. And I just wanted to toss that on the fire as well.
Absolutely. Great point.
So please continue.
Okay. Continue on that, or should we go to the next one?
If you rounded that out, we can go to the next one, but I know I cut you off. I want to make sure you finish that one off.
No, that's fine. We could go on and on and on. Let me just plug a book that's not mine, because there is a ton of great information in this book. It's called Take the Cold Out of Cold Calling, and the author is Sam Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R. And the book goes into all of these various resources online where you can get information about people and organizations. It's actually kind of scary, the information that is available to you, if you know the secrets. And it's much more than going into a search engine or doing some social media, but that information is out there. And you might find a little nugget that could just provide you that in with that decision maker that you're hoping to get into.
That's perfect. Thank you. So let's do that second one now. And that is that fatal flaw, I'm paraphrasing now, that you're going for a decision in the opening statement or statements.
Right. Let me put it in a different perspective. Picture somebody going up to somebody else in a bar that they don't know, walking up to them and saying, hey, I think I'm a great guy. Would you like to have a relationship?
That sounds like the pickup line for many of our wholesalers.
Now, it's a little bit early for that question. Now, that might be the end result somewhere down the line, but of course, we're not ready for that, or they're not ready for that yet. Now, likewise, putting it in terms of a salesperson calling somebody up and, again, introducing yourself and your company and then simply saying, what I'd like to do is to come out there and take some of your time and show you what we do. They have not even seen a reason to stay on the phone with you for 10 more seconds, let alone meet with you. Are you kidding me? Or how about this one? Hinting at the fact that you're going to suggest that you do business together. Now, everybody that we call, they're professional salespeople, right? They live this. But everybody, I don't care how long you've been in sales, we all still have built-in sales resistance, the resistance to being sold according to the negative sense of the word. So if we feel like somebody is trying to sell us something and they haven't earned the right to do it, the emotion that is then caused is flight, right, or defense. It's like going into a retail store and the person says, may I help you? Our defense mechanism says, no, I'm just looking. So if we hit somebody with a decision before they're ready, the natural reaction is, whoa, wait a minute, appointment, why? They're asking that question. So we want to answer the why question before we get them into the decision-making mode. And really all we're trying to do in the first 10 seconds of a phone call is to put them in a positive, receptive state of mind and then get them talking. Because once we get them talking, now we can start asking questions about a number of different areas that then might make them a good prospect, of course, for us. And we'll probably know they're a good prospect. But in their mind, now they might see that it would be worth their while to give us some of their time so that we could meet with them. And by the way, I do suggest taking that first phone call a little bit further than most people do. And I know many of your or the people listening to this might say, well, we're not going to sell this on the phone. That's fine. But wouldn't you rather have somebody who's very interested and eager to meet with you when you show up and maybe even have some other decision makers or influencers there in the room? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So the second one then is making sure that we can leave out the whole notion of any decision-making inference so we can just get that resistance lowered, if not eradicated.
That's right. Let me just say this. Take the word appointment out of your vocabulary in the first minute of your phone call.
Okay.
Because people can resist the appointment, but it's a lot harder for them to resist a hint of a possible result.
So now as we go to the crescendo, what then is the opening statement that you're suggesting to our listeners you know, first, of course, the error, not having the opening statement that creates value. I heard you say that.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to remedy that? How are we going to create one that does have value?
Well, and so number one, of course, is no value for the listener. So what we want to do, Rob, is number one, we want to do our research. I want to find out something about this, the firm, the individual, what's going on, anything situational that I may be able to address with my potential value. Okay. And then what I want to do is, well, of course, how are we going to do that? We're going to do our research. We're going to do the social engineering. And then what I'm going to do is put this in a very simple format. The smart calling opening statement format goes like this. And by the way, we don't want to talk about product without attaching the value to it. Because again, if you just say, I want to talk to you about our funds, how many funds are out there, Rob? Thousands?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's relatively easy to resist that. So I want to know what's going to cause them to say, oh, yeah, we are kind of looking at that. So step number one, identify yourself and your organization. Step number two is mention a connection or reference something that you know about them that is going on in their world that would make you relevant. So, for example, you might say, hi, this is Art Subcheck with ABC Funds. In speaking with a couple of your advisors there, I understand that one of the initiatives for your firm is to bring in more high net worth individuals into the firm. And what you're looking for right now are some products that might be able to diversify the offerings that you now have to make them more attractive to that type of individual. We've been very successful in doing that with other firms very similar to yours. And what I simply like to do is ask you a few questions, see if I can provide you some information.
Okay. It sounds great / a whole lot better than, here's why I want to come in and talk to you about my product. Can I get an appointment?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, all I want him to say or her at the end of that is, oh, okay. What do you want to know? So where are we now? We're into a conversation. From a positive, receptive state of mind perspective, as opposed to, we're happy with what we have. We got enough funds. I don't have time. And most openings put people in that defensive frame of mind as opposed to, yeah, sure, okay, what do you want to know? Let's talk.
Great insights, Art. And I know that we are literally scratching the surface. Art brings 25 years plus of working with sales professionals specifically on their talents relative to how to use the telephone successfully. I want to mention once again that it's smart-calling.com. Grab Art's book, Smart Calling, Eliminate the Fear, Failure, and Rejection from Cold Calling. We put cold calling in quotes because we know nobody's whipping out the yellow pages and white pages anymore, but it's somebody that you don't know that's on the other end of that line that you want to figure out how to develop a close, quick, deep, and meaningful relationship with, and that's what Art specializes in. Art, I thank you on behalf of our listeners for joining us on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Rob, it was a pleasure and would love to be back again.
Yeah, I'd like to have you back. And for our listeners, please be sure to know that in the upcoming issue of I Carry the Bag magazine, Art's going to write an article for us about call reluctance, which afflicts a lot of internal and external wholesalers. It afflicts a lot of sales professionals, and Art's going to tell us how to do better in that category and get over some of that call reluctance. So, Art, thank you once again. Join us next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.